Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Ja'Kari Jackson. This is what we have in store for you on the September 13th, 2012 edition.
Tonight on InfoWars Nightly News, Alex Jones conducts a hard-hitting interview with Steve Schenck of eFoods Direct on the global food crisis. Then, Melissa Melton details how the Department of Homeland Security is warning us that the Muslim Brotherhood is forming a new terror access with Iran. And pot users, beware, the federal government may seek to confiscate your guns. All that and more on tonight's edition of InfoWars Nightly News.
Welcome back to the InfoWars Nightly News. Top story, headline. Guns of pot users to be confiscated. Oh, yes, it's come to that. The Obama administration, through the Justice Department, has given the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives the authority to seize and administratively forfeit property involved in controlled substance abuses. In effect, those who are convicted of crimes involving alcohol and or substance abusers will have their right to bear arms revoked. So, very scary information right there. Me, personally, I'm not a drug advocate, but I am a gun advocate. I'm a proud gun owner, and I just see another attempt of this administration to strip people of their rights and their guns and their ability to protect themselves, because I don't like sitting around and waiting for somebody to come and rescue me. Hey, I'm not one of those kill 'em all, shoot 'em all kind of guys. I don't have a problem dialing 911, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to grab my gun first, and I'm going to grab my phone second. So don't try to take my guns. And before I get all hot and fired up on this, let me turn now to our special info warrior fashionista who dresses me quite nice, Miss Linda West. How are you doing today, Linda? So how are you doing tonight, Linda?
I'm doing great, Ja'Kari.
Good, good to be here. Now, when I first saw this story, you know this was a last-minute addition to our broadcast tonight, this pot smoker story. But it's something that's very important, very relevant. So when you first heard the story, what was your initial thought?
My initial thought was 140 million Americans smoke pot.
Yeah.
It's legal in 16 states.
Now, Linda, if I can interrupt you for 1 second, that is quite an impressive nameplate. I don't know if we can throw that back up, but it was something too. Linda, let me do my nightly, Linda West, certified chemical dependency counselor. Wow.
Are you impressed? Well,
yeah, I'm very impressed. That's a reason, I guess that's why you're sitting here right now, because you have some insight on what this could mean for pot smokers, because you know I'm a gun guy and I guess you're a drug girl. I don't know. But hey,
okay, let's go with that.
Yeah, we'll call it good. Now, Linda, I was looking at this article and did a little backtracking, and you know the 68 Gun Control Act says that if you are convicted felon, then you can carry a gun. That's where this, you know, convicted felons not being able to carry firearms came from.
Right.
But before then, they could. So we see here yet another ploy, you know, Obama administration just want to rob people of their firearms. Why do you think this is? Why do you think they want people's guns so bad?
Well, let me see.
Okay.
They're ordering millions of rounds of ammo themselves.
Over a billion. The whole government combined.
Over a billion suddenly. Mm-hmm. And they want to take all the Americans' guns away. Mm-hmm. I'd say they think there's going to be an issue.
I mean, possibly some martial law situation. I mean, because they have armored pillboxes and they have these big, I can't even call them Star Wars tanks. These big things they're driving around in, big bulletproof. I mean, let's not forget about the drones. I mean, we got drones. They started off flying U.S.-Mexico border, U.S.-Canada border,
right.
And now they're in your neighborhood. I mean, Alex did the drones in Austin.
I know, absolutely. In Buffalo, it's the first city to actually, they're fighting the Occupy Buffalo site. They're fighting it, but they're all over the place, as you said. So, I don't know, with the new QE3, possible economic crisis, that would be my guess, but who knows?
Yeah. So, we see here an asset forfeiture seizure. If they catch you with drugs or whatever they consider to be drugs, it may not be, I mean, it's not limited to, you know, things such as marijuana. It could be prescription drugs and other things like that. But as far as marijuana, pot smokers, why do you think they want to take away the rights of pot smokers? I mean, what are the benefits? You know, you're a certified drug counselor. I mean, very
right.
Impressive nameplate person. What do you think is the deal? I mean, what's the benefit of smoking pot?
Well, the reason that marijuana was legalized is mm-hmm. because they're finding, actually, new Harvard studies, that it's a miracle plant. It is proving to cause, I mean, to cure cancer. It's stopping lung tumors from growing, things that they can't stop or treat with chemotherapy. They're able to treat with marijuana.
Okay. You say in your town, people can walk down the street smoking weed, but they can't smoke a cigarette on their own front porch.
Absolutely.
So what is that about?
Well, tobacco kills, and there has not been one case where marijuana has proven to be the death of anyone.
Okay.
So I guess that's the reasoning. And secondhand smoke also kills, but secondhand marijuana smoke hasn't proven to hurt anyone. Although I wouldn't recommend anybody out there that smokes, smoking around your children or anything like that. But the fact is, it is a miraculous drug, and it's treating things. It's even growing back brain tissue. So marijuana is actually good for your brain.
It's good for your brain.
Okay, so now Science Daily.
Now you're talking about the different uses of hemp. Like, what are a few things people can use hemp for besides just smoking it?
Well, hemp is it's another miraculous part of the marijuana plant, and it doesn't have any drug effects to it at all. No THC is the active ingredient in marijuana that produces the medicinal effects. But hemp has been traditionally used. In fact, it used to be that you had to grow hemp. They have pictures of Uncle Sam going, "Grow hemp for your country."
Really?
Yes, because hemp can replace all the paper products. You can also use it as a fuel. And the hemp seed is actually the most potent source of vegetable protein on the planet.
Really?
So for vegetarians, hemp seed is just very, very important.
Okay. I mean, this is all new
to
me.
Also, well, David Bronner, who's the owner of Bronner's Natural Soaps, he's trying to start a campaign to bring hemp back to the United States, allow us to use it, because right now hemp is outlawed because marijuana is outlawed. And so we outsource all our hemp needs to Canada. It's a $500 million business, and he wants to bring that home. So he was actually in a cage in front of the White House growing hemp because he wanted to grow it in the cage and then have them test it so he could prove that there was no THC in it so they could stop trying to make it illegal along with the cannabis medicinal side of it.
Okay. So as your experience as a drug counselor, what do you think is more harmful, things such as marijuana or all these prescription drugs that they're trying to push on people, even young children? You know, you've dealt with substance abuse.
It's really disgusting. The pharmaceutical companies, the effects that they have on the body, the suicides you hear about with Prozac and all that, all those things, and chemotherapy, the side effects for that.
Yes.
Horrible, horrible. No side effects with marijuana. Well, the munchies. You could be ordering a lot of pizzas out there. So that's a problem unless you own Domino's.
Okay. So you think in your professional opinion, you think that marijuana is a much better, drug substance to be used than medicinal drugs,
absolutely.
Things like Prozac.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, Marinol is a way to use marijuana if you don't want to smoke it. It's in a pill form. And I think that is such a preferred medicine for children other than the Ritalin things they're putting them on right now. But, marijuana has a bad name. And Hearst was one of the people that made sure he bought the lobbyist and they made marijuana illegal. He slapped it with a bunch of Mexicans because he wanted to make it sound bad. And it was never even about him trying to outlaw it as a drug. He wanted to get rid of the hemp side of it because he owned all the lumber companies. And hemp was replacing paper, wood paper, rather. So.
Yes.
There's just been a big smear campaign on marijuana. It really shouldn't even be lumped in with drugs. It should be lumped in with medicine.
Okay.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
In my professional
opinion. So we see the drug schedule. We see marijuana listed amongst these very harmful drugs at the top of the pyramid. And so you feel that marijuana shouldn't be linked in with those same other harmful substances?
No. I mean, let's face it. There is an ability to be addicted to anything. People, it's really interesting that in the rehabs, one of the biggest addictions was sex.
Really?
People are really addicted.
Let's lock people up. Let's get the NDAA right now to lock up people for knocking boots. But thank you very much, Miss Linda West, for your time. Very insightful thing for me because, I'm pretty square. But I do like my guns and my old T-shirts and
square but sweet.
Yeah, a couple extra pounds never really hurt. Yeah, country boy. All right, thanks, Linda, and we'll keep an eye on this, and hopefully these people will keep their sticky fingers off the the guns of these, you know, supposed drug abusers and even alcoholics.
Well, let's hope so, because this is just, it's not a law. Mm-hmm. It's just another way to grab our guns that's totally illegal. And ultimately, some of the biggest gun-owning states also have legal marijuana laws. So it'll be a fight.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So we see the Obama administration coming up with yet another reason to grab your guns. So get this report out to everybody you know. I know we say that a lot, but between guns and drugs, you know somebody this story affects. So get it out there and let people know what's really going on. Changing gears here now. Talk about a little GMO news. Headline, GMO alert. Eating GM wheat may destroy your liver, warned scientists. This one from our friend Mike Adams. Jack Hyman, biologist, said he has published an eye-opening report that details this warning and calls for rigorous scientific testing on animals before this crop is ever consumed by humans. The enzyme suppressor in wheat, he says, might also attack a human enzyme that produces glycogen. Consumers who eat genetically modified wheat would end up contaminating their bodies with this enzyme destroying wheat, causing their own livers to be unable to produce glycogen, a hormone molecule that helps the body regulate blood sugar metabolism. Continuing, what we have found is that the molecules created in this wheat intended to silence wheat genes can match human genes, and through ingestion, these molecules can enter human beings and potentially silence our genes, said Hyman. So yet another reason not to eat GMOs. And for our new viewers, GMOs are genetically modified organisms, are foods that are pretty much made in, you know, laboratories and basements or wherever they make them, opposed to the good foods that grow out of the ground. But even some of the good foods that grow out of the ground have been contaminated by companies like Monsanto. And one of the things these big companies like Monsanto are trying to do is they don't want you to know that you're eating genetically modified foods. So what they're doing is they're trying to push a campaign where they don't have to label their food as being genetically modified. And if that concerns you like it concerns me, you should take a look at Proposition 37 that's actually coming out of California. It's a proposition that would force big companies like Monsanto to label their food as being genetically modified. And I think that's a very good thing for everybody. Actually, for some more news on that, we just had Linda Weston here a second ago, but she did a great report where she talked about genetically modified organisms. The report is titled Media Cultivates GMO Lies. Well, she had a chance to interview Anthony Gucciardi. And speaking of Anthony Gucciardi, we have a story from him. U.S. and China caught secretly testing GMO rice on children. That's right. The United States Department of Agriculture, in alliance with the Chinese government, have instead chosen to secretly test their latest GMO rice on young Chinese children. Continuing, Greenpeace is calling for a stop to the trials, which are reportedly continuing in the field. Citing health and environmental risk, Greenpeace says that the studies are taking place on roughly 24 children, aged between 6 and 8 years old. It has also been said that the parents likely were completely unaware or misinformed. So we see here attacks on our young, innocent children, even if they're Chinese children. We see these young kids that, you know, look up to these guardians and say, hey, Johnny, eat this corn. And say, okay. So now they're eating this GMO corn they're being tested on. It's not right, and as the article pointed out, many of the parents were either misinformed or completely unaware that this was going on. But it reminded me of an article that was published last year, this from Natural News, USDA to allow Monsanto to perform its own GMO studies. The USDA has a solution to allow biotech industry to conduct the studies itself. This means that Monsanto and other biotech companies will decide whether to approve their own products. That's the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard. How can you let a company approve their own products? If you're a hot dog vendor and you want to sell hot dogs in the city of Austin, or at least in the city of Tulsa, I know you have to go get a license to do it, but they let these big companies approve their own products. So I guess that's how the USDA justifies their action. Well, Monsanto, they get to check their own stuff. So at least we'll test it, even though if we go test it on poor little Chinese kids, at least we're testing it. So, disgusting action from Monsanto and the USDA. Oh, man, GMO, it's not a good deal. Read up on it, find out about it, and do what you can to get it out of your life permanently. Moving on. U.S. totalitarianism loses major battle as judge permanently blocks NDAA's military detention provision. Chris Hedges sued President Obama in the recently passed National Defense Authorization Act, specifically challenging the legality of the authorization for use of military force. Continuing, when in a 112 opinion, Judge Forrest turned the temporary injunction following an appeal by the totalitarian government from August 6th into a permanent one. The permanent injunction prevents the U.S. government from enforcing a portion of Section 1021 of the National Defense Authorization Act's Homeland Battlefield Provisions. For those of you who are not familiar with the NDAA, it basically gives the president dictatorial powers where they can arrest, black bag, disappear anybody they want. No judge, no jury, no due process. So if Obama doesn't like your haircut, even if you do trust Obama, even if you do trust guys like Romney or whoever, do you know who the president's going to be three presidents from now? Are you going to trust that guy with such an incredible power? And we see here, if we look back at the article, there are many people who don't. One of the people being FBI Director Robert Mueller. He said that he was against the NDAA, or at least this one provision of the article, Section 1021, because it would make it harder for him to prosecute the people he needs to look at. So the FBI director says, hey, if all these people are being disappeared into these black bags to Gitmo or wherever they are, we're not going to be able to solve our crimes because we don't have them to question. So at least somebody has some sense. I mean, I don't support everything the FBI does, but at least this guy seems to know what's going on. He doesn't want people to be black bagged to Gitmo where they make you run around naked and take pictures with chickens. You guys have seen those pictures. The only thing that's missing is a giant owl and a couple redwood trees. Some weird stuff going on there at Guantanamo Bay. But, hey, I guess that's the new America. Switching gears, completely switching gears, we go now to some Ron Paul news. Headline, three Ron Paul supporting electors may not support Republican ticket. And it makes me very happy to see people not mindlessly, stupidly towing the party line. Let's take a look at the article. The electors, all supporters of former GOP presidential candidate Ron Paul, told the Associated Press they were exploring options should Mitt Romney win their states. Continuing, they've never given Ron Paul a fair shot, and I'm disgusted with that. I'd like to show them how disgusted I am, said Melinda Wadsley. Well, Melinda, you are not the only person who is disgusted. I'm personally disgusted that they never gave this man a fair chance. We know of all the fraud and recounting votes and all this other tomfoolery that they played the Ron Paul campaign with. And even within Ron Paul's campaign himself, if you missed the Alex Jones radio show, you missed quite a rant about one Jesse Benton. If you guys go dig it up in the archives, hey, if you're a PrisonPlanet.tv member, you can go dig it up in the archives and see it live and live in color. Alex Jones ripped Jesse Benton a new one, but as far as Alex Jones is concerned, he also has two, you know, what's. So, hey, whatever. But speaking of Ron Paul, our very own David Ortiz had a chance to ask people an interesting question. Now that the prospect of President Paul is gone away, what about the prospect of Governor Paul? Would you like to see a Governor Paul? Our own David Ortiz hit the streets to find out. So let's take a look at that clip.
While chants of President Paul have long been silenced, the congressman's supporters may still have an unexpected opportunity to get Ron Paul elected to high office. That's because in 2014, the seat for Texas governor will be open. While a spokesperson for the congressman has stated to InfoWars that the doctor is not interested in the position, many activists can argue that a large-scale grassroots effort promoting this idea could prompt them to reconsider. Current Texas Governor Rick Perry has stated he does intend to seek re-election, despite the fact he has already held this position for 12 years, and a recent Dallas Morning News poll shows a majority of Texans don't think he should run again. I recently asked visitors at the Texas Capitol building in Austin what they thought of this possibility.
Do you think Ron Paul should run for governor of Texas?
Yes.
Why?
I think he's a good politician. He gives rights to the people, not as much government interference, which is something I'd prefer. He's also a very confident politician, very experienced, and I believe he'd do a great job.
Do you think he has a shot of winning?
Possibly, if he gets his message out there and really conveys to the people that he is the best in interest in his mind is Texans.
I think he should. Yeah, I mean, he seems like a guy that might actually do a little bit better than Rick Perry. He seems to be a little bit more caring for people and stuff like that, you know what I mean?
Do you think Ron Paul would have a shot of winning, a realistic shot of winning?
Not really.
Do you think Ron Paul should run for governor of Texas?
No, I don't. I really don't.
Why not?
I don't care for him too much. I just don't care for his policies and some of the things he stands for.
Do you think he could win if he ran?
Probably not. It's hard to tell, but I don't think so. But a lot of people don't care for some of his issues, but I mean, some he has that are good, but the underlying things I really don't care for.
I don't think so, because he doesn't really have any experience in governing.
Do you think he could win if he ran for governor of Texas?
I don't think so.
Why not?
he's too much of an individual and not part of the machine. You have to be part of the machine here in order to win.
If Ron Paul were to win the election, he would be 79 years old on election day. While some may argue that his elder age would be viewed as a negative to his campaign, it is important to note that he would have been serving as a public servant at this age had he won the presidency. Advocates can also argue that a statewide campaign would be far less taxing on the congressman and his family than a national campaign, and that he can choose to serve for just one term.
In a recent blog posted by former Paul spokesman Doug Weed, he states that he does not rule out the possibility that Dr. Paul will run for public office again. However, he was referring to a presidential run. A recent University of Texas poll shows that most state residents are happy with the direction the state is currently going in. The survey also shows that while the economy is the most important issue for most Americans, illegal immigration and border security are the two most important issues for Texans. Residents I spoke to, however, would want Dr. Paul to address another issue if he were to win.
I've been reading a few articles about people that are wrongly convicted, and to me that's kind of disheartening because, I don't know anybody personally that was in that situation, but from hearing the stories and stuff like that, it kind of devastates their family.
I'd like to see any governor or any candidate for governor address the death penalty and speak about abolishing it again. It's very unjust.
Always fighting on behalf of liberty. For InfoWars Nightly News, I'm David Ortiz.
All right, great job, David. A very interesting prospect right there. Governor Ron Paul, now that, I'm in the state of Texas, that's something that very much interests me. But regardless if Ron Paul runs or not, I'd personally like to thank Ron Paul for 30 years of excellent service. You are appreciated, sir. Moving on to my last story. House approves extension of secret surveillance under FISA. In a 301-118 vote, the House of Representatives today passed an amendment that would extend the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, FISA, a law allowing government monitoring of American communications in efforts to allegedly thwart foreign spies and terrorists. I like that word, allegedly. Originally set to expire at the end of 2012, the bill's extension would give the highly secretive U.S. intelligence gathering National Security Administration nearly unlimited communication surveillance capabilities, allowing the snooping of emails and phone conversations until 2017. And I guarantee you, come 2017, they will find another reason to extend this FISA business or whatever else they come up with at the time. I mean, how many of your rights are you willing to give up for people to supposedly keep you safe? Like, I believe it was Jesse Ventura Alex was talking to on the radio show today, and he said, hey, if you want to be secure, move into a prison. And that is very true. People think about the riots and all this other stuff that goes on to a prison. No, if you want to be safe, move into a prison. You'll have armored guards 24/7. You'll have food and clothes and, guys that cook for you, whatever else. You will be secure in a prison. You won't have any freedom, but you'll be secure. But apparently that's what the new America is all about, just having all your security and no freedoms. And we all know what Benjamin Franklin said, to paraphrase, those who sacrifice liberty for security will inherit neither. Or you guys know what the quote is. We say it like 10 times a day on the show. Anyway, we'll go now to Melissa Melton and her report as the DHS is warning of a new axis of terror. That sounds kind of familiar, World War One or two-ish or so. But anyway, let's go to that special report from Melissa Melton.
Thanks, Jakari. This is Melissa Melton reporting for InfoWars Nightly News. The Department of Homeland Security's National Terror Alert Response Center put out a warning on September 11th that the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt was consorting with Iranian spies to create a, quote, terror axis that would promote global terrorism. This occurred on the same day that Christopher Stevens, our ambassador to Libya, was killed alongside three of his staff members in protests sparked by the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, not only is this rhetoric a throwback to George W. Bush's Axis of Evil speech, wherein he claimed that Iran was the biggest threat to global peace, that it was creating weapons of mass destruction, even though a decade later we still have no solid proof of that, it really does beg the question, which Muslim Brotherhood is it? Is it the one that our White House has opened its doors to, that we're in contract negotiations with, and that we've been giving billions in military aid funding to? Or is it the Muslim Brotherhood that apparently sparks protests that end in the death of our ambassador and are working alongside Iran to promote global terrorism? One thing is certain. As we continue to regime change and nation build across the Middle East, our government is having a harder and harder time keeping their story straight. Now, at the time that I wrote this story, the Pentagon was getting ready to release drones to Libya. Hey, Pentagon, I have an idea for you. Why don't you send the drones to the same address that you're sending all of these billions in military aid checks to? You'll save yourself quite a bit of time. Now, moving on. A trailer for the Mohammed film that supposedly sparked the protests in Egypt, Libya, and Yemen earlier this week had apparently been up on YouTube for 2 months, but according to a story by Paul Joseph Watson up on Infowars.com today, the attacks were coordinated well in advance of this trailer being released. Now, this film was purposely dubbed and edited to enrage the Muslim population. In it, the Prophet Muhammad is depicted as a pedophile, a homosexual, a religious phony, a philanderer, a womanizer, and a bloodthirsty dictator. And despite the alleged filmmakers' claim that the movie was funded by rich Jewish donors to the tune of $5 million, it has all the quality of a low-budget film project. But the mainstream media is jumping all over it because they want to disguise the fact that the Al-Qaeda forces our CIA created and which we are funding to back our regime change agenda over in Syria are also the same Al-Qaeda forces that occasionally like to blow our people up. But they don't want you to know that because they have to justify this whole Syrian regime change thing any way they can. More and more, though, this trailer is looking like a psyop that was created specifically to antagonize the Muslim people, to manipulate their emotions and promote a clash of civilizations so that the U.S. and NATO can increase military presence and rush in and pose as saviors. It's classic Hegelian dialectic, problem, reaction, solution. For InfoWars Nightly News, I'm Melissa Melton. Back to you, Jakari.
All right, thanks, Melissa, for that great report and the axis of evil or whatever they want to call it. I mean, DHS has enough to worry about. You know, they got to go out to all the basketball games and football games and all this other stuff they're doing. I'm surprised they have time to worry about anything else. But let's go now to our quote of the day. The perception that everything is totally straightforward and safe is utterly naive. I don't think we fully understand the dimensions of what we're getting into, said Professor Philip James, director of the Rollitt Research Institute, Aberdeen, on genetically engineered food. That's a very interesting quote. I'm not sure how old it is, but it seems like this guy was definitely ahead of his time, you know, talking about these genetically modified foods. So good for you, Professor Philip James. Well, that's it for this segment of the InfoWars Nightly News. After the break, we'll be back with Alex as he interviews Steve Schenck, food industry insider. I want to encourage you, especially if you're watching this on YouTube, to check out PrisonPlanet.tv. You can check out all the clips I talked about today referencing the Alex Jones Show, also the InfoWars Nightly News. We have great stuff on there. You can see all of Alex's films, all the films he produced, his rants, all the good things you love about Alex in the InfoWars Nightly News. And also I encourage you to check out the InfoWars shop. A lot of great products on there. You can read up on the genetically modified organisms. You can watch movies like Farmageddon. We have all the Come and Take It t-shirts. So when they try to come take your guns because somebody dropped an ounce of weed in your car, you say, hey, this is America, Jack. I'm about mine. So you better back off. You know, I don't smoke the green, but I like Mr. 357. So, hey, you better watch out. But anyway, we'll be back with Alex and his interview with Steve Schenck right after this.
Alex. Alex Jones here with a message to fellow freedom lovers. The prognosis for the entire planetary economic system runs from bad to worse. The globalist model is to shut down societies and starve patriots out until they acquiesce to the global takeover. That's why we've assembled the most vital and important preparedness items at InfoWarsShop.com. These are items that I did research on, that I personally use. You've got the Life Straw, so you can turn fetid water into safe water anywhere you go. The KTOR hand crank generator to charge up key equipment during power outages or out in the field. Strategic Relocation, 3rd edition by Joel Skousen. When Disaster Strikes by Matthew Stein. TheraSafe, used by Homeland Security to protect yourself during any radiological event. Hand crank shortwave AM/FM radios. Everything that we've researched and found to be the best is available at InfoWarsShop.com, and your purchase makes our InfoWar possible. We're getting prepared. Are you? InfoWarsShop.com. Sick of the globalist eugenicist control freaks adding poison to your water and laughing as you get sick and die? Start purifying your water with ProPure. My friends, I've done a lot of research, and the best gravity filter out there, bar none, is ProPure, and it's available discounted at InfoWars.com. Its filters are silver impregnated to prevent bacterial growth. There's no priming required. It's NSF 42 certified. Optional fluoride filters can reduce fluoride up to 95%. Easy to set up and use. Doesn't require electricity. Purify water from lakes, streams, ponds, and wells. This filter system leaves in beneficial minerals, which is key. Save money by not buying bottled water and avoid BPA that leaches from the plastic. ProPure is the best gravity-fed filter out there. It's what my family uses. InfoWars.com already has the lowest price on ProPure. But if you add the promo code WATER at checkout, you get an additional 10% off at InfoWars.com. You can also call to order 888-253-3139. Tonight's special report, we're going to look at one of the most important subjects and issues out there in the world today. You know about the inflation that's beginning. You know about the wars and revolutions and rioting in the Middle East spreading into areas of Europe. You know about 50 million Americans on food stamps now and growing. We're discussing the world food crisis. And it was a year ago this week, that Steve Schenck was on my syndicated radio show on the phone breaking down that all of this was coming. How did he know? Well, he has operated the oldest continually in existence storable foods company. And he's got the inside pulse because he's also the biggest. And the information he has dovetails with all of my research separately, but he's one of the few guys that I talk to who can actually teach me something. Because I'm here scanning the news, scanning the financial periodicals, talking to economists, watching what's happening. But Steve, with his big factories, bringing in high-quality food from all over the world, sometimes buying it a year out on contracts before it's even been grown, he can see things coming over the horizon that really a few others can give us an insight into. And so this is the first of three special reports that we're going to cover here tonight on InfoWars Nightly News. This will be the Global Food Crisis Special Report. And then we're also going to do an interview breaking down secrets of the food industry. And there'll be pieces of all these reports within the others as well. But he's going to really drill down into that. And also we're going to have a short buying guide to storable foods, because so many of these companies out there sell you storable food, hoping you never eat it. Steve came to town to basically brief me on what was happening. He's visited before. And I said, hey, please stay another day. Come on the radio. Come on the TV show and break down what you've just told me. Because I was just purchasing some more food for Me Foods. And he broke down the fact that a lot of these companies, the food has less wholesomeness and nutrition than the cardboard box it came in. So we're going to break that down, secrets of the storable foods industry, but also food industry, period, in part two. But we'll cover some of that in part one, because I just can't wait to part two, where Michelle Obama's taking over the grocery stores and they want to track everything. Again, this is a guy who for 30-plus years has been on the inside of this, on the Animal ID, the Premise Society, the Food Safety Act. What is it really all about? Again, we could not have a better source on this to really break down what's happening. I cannot stress to you enough that food is your greatest asset in a crisis, because it's what allows you to not be dependent. The UN has said this. Henry Kissinger has said this. The State Department Memorandum 200, that food will be used as a weapon. And that's why we've gone from, in 1955, being able to feed the entire world to 40-plus percent of our food being imported, and that's accelerating. So we're going to cover all of this and look at all the different factors coming together by design to break our backs and make us dependent. Steve, thank you for staying in town to tell the viewers what you were telling me in that hour-long briefing yesterday. If we could recapture that lightning in a bottle, I mean, you were pretty animated in there. I've never seen you like that. Why are you so concerned?
Well, basically what we're talking about is freedom and getting back to America. What we've had consistently occurring, here's a principle. The extent to which you're dependent is the extent to which you give power over yourself to that on which you depend. Give you a perfect example, oil. We don't develop our own oil resources, and so we become dependent on countries that don't like us too well. And if they don't like us too well, any excuse to raise prices, cut back on our supplies. And if you get back to food, when you talk to me, Alex, you know that all roads lead to food, because those dots always connect. When we have problems with the oil, what you'll discover if you look at the last 10 years, the graph of the price of oil is exactly the same as the graph of the price of food to those people out there that are depending on that as their basic, most important necessity. Now, as we go through this discussion, you'll find that, you know, we can talk about all the storms, we can talk about the various disasters and things like what happened over in Japan, and when we have things like Katrina here. We can talk about food prices, we can talk about all of the prices with gasoline, we can talk about the fact that thousands and thousands of families in America are falling below the poverty level every single day. Every single day. And it's not because they're making less money. It's because inflation and the economy are falling apart so desperately, and we're printing funny money.
In fact, finally today, the Federal Reserve officially said, we promised not to do QE3. We're just going to call it continued easing, and they're going to open the floodgates. That ensures the inflation we've seen is only going to intensify.
Well, just as an aside, which might be kind of interesting to you, the viewers, if, in fact, we were printing dollars for every one that we're spending, in other words, a lot of the spending is being done by, you know, the stroke of the pen, but if we were actually printing dollars, it would take all of the trees in the United States to make the paper by the end of this year. All
Amazing.
Of the trees would be gone by the end of 2012, because we took all of that wood to make up the paper to print that much money at the rate that they're spending right now.
Incredible. I mean, we're talking about tens of trillions of dollars. And as you said, if it wasn't digital, most of it, 97%, it would get rid of all the trees in the country. Now,
but what that does to food is it makes every dollar diminish in value and diminish in value. Now we've got a trade deficit. China has more of our money than we do. China is also hurting for food. They lost 60% of their wheat crop last year, and they are the largest wheat producer in the world. They are farming the planet. You and I have already talked about what they're doing to Africa. They're taking all of the food out of Africa. They're sending Chinese labor over there, not even paying Africans to grow the stuff and hauling it out. Well, since the bank bailout that we have here in the United States, which was really interesting in terms of inflation, but since the bank bailout, the banks have concluded that they aren't going to lend farmers money. In fact, shortly after that bailout occurred, we got calls from a lot of the supermarket chains. They couldn't get the loans to buy the groceries to put on their shelves to sell the people that are coming in to buy groceries.
And you're going to go through all the dots, but then connect them and tell people where this is going. And that's what's so stunning at the end of this talk. But beginning in that conversation yesterday that was so dynamic, you bring up the fact of what's really behind the pushing of the food stamps. Break that down.
Oh, food stamps. That's an interesting deal. I think that all of your viewers have had to have heard the advertisements encouraging people to get food stamps.
It's everywhere.
For crying out loud. And we've got a situation. Now, Governor Romney, in one of his political talks, made the statement that he wants to cut back on food stamps, on the funding for food stamps. That's not the message. Bottom line, what we want to get to in this country is the point where we have built the economy, we have jobs, and we have people being able to work and earn enough money so they don't have to be on food stamps. But look at what's happened. We are getting advertisements. They're talking to a mature lady from the ones that I saw, and I get a little bit goofy over this kind of stuff because it just aggravates the daylights out of me, because what they're saying is, or she's saying, well, can I get food stamps if I have a car? And, oh, yes, you might be able to get food stamps if you have a car. Well, can I get food stamps if I have a house? Oh, yes, you might be able to get food stamps. Can I still get food stamps if I have a job? Well, yes, you might be able to. They're encouraging people to get food stamps. Who's paying for that? And here's the interesting thing. The government has made commitments like crazy, not just with the food stamps issue, but with the fact that 50% of the population of this country, what was the richest country in the world, is now 50% of that population now has to be subsidized for their groceries, food stamps, the welfare programs generally, and some of the other things like WIC and all that, and churches.
And Steve, I remember you 5 years ago. And I knew you knew what you were talking about. You're very respected. I mean, really the trailblazer, the grandfather of the whole storable foods movement. You were saying there's going to be shortages. This is all coming. They want to shut it down. It's part of the plan. And I'm like, really? I mean, this is really going to happen? And now so much of it is coming true. I can't wait to hear, the conclusion of where you see all this going. But now it's clear. One word is what's happening. The domestication of the American people. That's what you define in animals, or in slavery with humans in history. What domestication is when an animal depends on you for food. I mean, this is what they're doing. They are doing everything they can to destroy the crops.
You know how to catch wild hogs? Let me tell you how to catch wild hogs. Okay? You're out there, you got a wily old boar that's leading the pack, and they got a whole bunch of hogs. And they're pretty wily about people like you because you're going to shoot them. Okay, what you do is you start putting some posts around in this one area. Okay? And the old hogs are sitting back there and they're watching you. And then what you do is you go out and you put some boards on those posts and you make a fence. And then you make a gate. And you put a rope on the gate. And the hogs are sitting back there saying, what are these guys doing? These guys are out here. I don't know what they're doing. And then one day you walk in with a bushel of corn. And you pour it right in the middle of that fence, and you leave. And they sit back there for maybe a couple of days and watch that and think, what the heck is that? So one of them's more adventuresome, goes in there and nibbles on that corn and says, that's pretty good corn. And then you just leave it there. And pretty soon the rest come in, and they join that one. And pretty soon the corn's gone, and they sit back and they watch. And then you take another bushel of corn in there. Only this time, they don't wait so long before they go in there, and pretty soon, they're watching for the corn to come. And then after a couple of weeks, you take the bushel of corn, and they can't wait for you to leave before they go in and eat the corn. And then once they all get in there and they're eating the corn, you pull the rope.
That's how we, at our farm in East Texas, get rid of the hogs. And there's so many of them, we don't even try to sell them for meat. Once they run in there, then you drive up, jump out of the pickup truck with four assault rifles, and you can shoot 20 or 30 of them.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I've seen the previews for the new shooting show they've got, and it just shows hundreds of the hogs being shot that way. Mm-hmm. Ted Nugent's new show. And this is how they domesticated animals. It's how people are domesticated. Serfs aren't allowed to produce enough food to live. Our country rebelled because the colonies weren't allowed to produce finished goods. We had to buy that from England. This is domestication. We are in the process of being deindustrialized, shut down. They paid $22 billion of taxpayer money to move Cadillac and Volt, GM, to China. The people running this country have made us debtors to China, all of it a fraud, all of it a plan. I want you to vet through more of the points because you've got like 20 dots here, Steve. But but we want patriots out there to win-win. Sure, when they get high-quality foods from eFoods Direct that I believe in, that I use, my sole food sponsor, I could have 20. But I don't. They get that real security, so they're not going to be domesticated. So they control that. But you didn't want to even plug this. You just want to get the information out. But let's skip ahead, though, to the end. Where is all this headed? What do you see in the master plan with the riots in the Middle East and all of this? And then we'll go back through the points. But, I mean, looking at the Global Food Crisis Special Report, here if food prices go up 30% like they have in the last year, 10% just in the last month, I have Reuters right here. Food prices jumped 10% in just July, World Bank.
Yeah, but if you look at that same Reuters article, it says corn and wheat jumped 25% in 1 month's time.
In fact, here's the document, Campbell. It's closer to 40% in a total year.
There you go.
Again, how did you predict this a year ago on record on my radio show? And again, here they'll just put us on welfare and get us dependent and then steal middle-class money from people that are trying to save and hurt those on fixed income Social Security. In the third world, 6 billion plus people in the third world, this is a death sentence.
Oh, absolutely. And the thing is that what's happened, now, we hear about the problems with the trade deficit with the United States. We know there's a trade deficit because China has all of our money. They got more of our money than we do. And China is hurting for food. So what are they doing with that money? They're going around the world farming the planet. And what they're doing also is, since the bailout, the farmers can't get the money, they're coming in here and talking to our farmers who want to stay alive and in business. And they say, okay, you can't get a bank loan. We'll pay for you growing that crop. We'll give you a profit on the crop, and we'll take it out to China because the United States doesn't have any export laws on food. Or regulations.
I had Dinesh D'Souza. I'm interrupting. I want you to continue. I had him on this week. You know, the guy that has the big hit movie, $26 million in a month, 2016 Obama's America. But in that, he says Obama's anti-colonialist, so he wants to shut down America and shows how they're shutting us down by design. No debate. But that's not what it is. The globalists are these mega banks that are reverse colonizing. They're using the third world to leverage us out, not helping the third world, to leverage us out and shut us down so they can buy it all up for pennies on the dollar. And now the globalists teamed up with China are engaging in colonial activities against the United States.
There you go. It is
diabolical. I'm sorry, go back to your point.
Well, let's go back to the pigs. Let's go back to the pigs. And let's go back to food stamps. Now, Romney said he wants to reduce by 33% or something. I can't remember. No, $33 billion, the expense on food stamps. That's not the problem. All that does is get him unelected because everybody that's being fed, you feed them, you lead them. What's going to happen? What really the solution would be from anybody is to, very simply, give the people a means by which they can earn enough money and get jobs and build the economy so they don't have to be on food stamps. Instead of telling people, oh, you can get some food stamps, more feed the pigs, get some more food stamps, feed the pigs. Even if people don't need the food stamps, get the food stamps anyway.
Well, that's why they advertise. There's all these programs for you to get a giant group of people totally dependent so the government can say, now vote to turn your guns in. Now vote to get rid of your borders.
The extent to which you're dependent is the extent to which you give power over yourself to that on which you depend. Why are we making Americans dependent? Okay, now let's talk about this. We're in the seventh year of a worldwide famine. China, Australia, India, all of the major population centers of the United States, all of Europe, all of the entire planet lost their bee population, a high percentage of it 4 years ago. Now we're in the state of a worldwide famine, seventh year, okay? We've got droughts and we've got food shortages every place. Every country that has more of our money than we have is buying our food. And so we have 12 million American kids that go hungry every night. How many of our population are out of their homes because of all the foolishness?
A lot of them, the only good meal they get every day is the school lunch in the morning.
Oh, I've got a daughter that's a school teacher in Pennsylvania, and it's absolutely pathetic. In some of these areas, we have people that work with our organization that are donating food to schools so that the kids that only get one meal a day by coming to school can have something to take home and eat over the weekend. That's America.
Look, I got to ask you before you go further. How did you know this? Well, not just a year ago. You've been saying this is coming. I mean, obviously, you're at the heart of the industry. You don't, I mean, you're manufacturing it, you're buying it, you're doing it all. I mean, you've seen this plan coming for years. How did you put all the pieces together?
It doesn't take brain surgery. We're sitting there. We're buying the raw materials. We're seeing the prices go up with raw materials. We know that we have to go to a foreign country right now, and I'm not even going to discuss it because I'll have to compete with everybody that's running down there if I tell them. But the fact is, we go to a foreign country because here we go, genetically altered food. We don't know what's going to make you glow in the dark, walk sideways, and one eye
almost
the other side.
Almost, 80-something percent of the major crops are GMO in America. There you can't you even, you were telling me privately, you can't even get non-GMO in America anymore. They're mixing it all together. It's incredible.
And it's almost being mandated. And we don't want to, we don't have the time, and we don't want to bore your viewers to go into all the ins and outs of what's going on.
Oh, it's not boring. We're going to cover it, the secrets.
Bottom line is that what you see coming is when you see shortages, when you see the farmers being put out of work, when you see farms and ranchers having to sell off their herds because they can't get the feed, because with the ethanol program, the government is subsidizing, and just keep in mind, viewers, just keep in mind this. Anytime the government puts subsidies into a program, you can bet that there's going to be huge inflation and you're going to have basically a problem with the people that are already in that program surviving.
And now look at food prices going up. Yeah, look at health care. All these government, look at education.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. The extent to which you're dependent is the extent to which you give power over yourself to that on which you depend. Now here's the answer for every American. What's your greatest dependency? Obviously food. Okay? The fascinating thing is you can't do anything about the rest of the stuff. You can't do anything about whichever one of these guys is elected and what they do with it and what promises they make and that they can't keep anyway. You can't do anything about the weather conditions. You can't do anything about whether your job stays in place, whether your corporation shuts down or downsizes or whatever happens. But you can do something about your greatest dependency. You can do what the old pioneers did. What they would always do was that they would have a supply of food in. Because what's happening now, we also know that there have been executive orders signed where all of these commitments that the government has made to take care of right now half the population of the country. Also, what most people don't realize is that half the population of the country is employed almost in some way or another by the government. So you've got that put together. But all of these commitments with the food stamps and with the various welfare programs and with all of the welfare system, the welfare mentality we've got here, what's happened is that they've made commitments for food. They don't have any food. The government does not have a supply of food. So we've got an executive order, several of them in place, that provide for when they run out of or when they need food for something, they can actually go in and take over supplies of food from the large supplies.
Oh, we should have showed the executive orders. They can commandeer roadways, transportation, food, raw materials, but worse, labor.
Absolutely.
They can form work brigades. That's in the executive orders. Anybody can Google executive orders for food confiscation. They're all there. They've been reissued. Obama has reissued them. But they've got executive orders saying they can suspend Congress.
I understand. But let's talk about food. Because food is, of all those things, food is the control mechanism. I talked with Gun Owners of America a little bit ago. I did a little bit of a seminar. It was a couple of years ago, in fact. That's the first time I met you. I was down there talking to them. And one of the things that I said was, hey, guys, most of the, you know, the great white hunters in the country say, well, heck, I'll just go up and pop a deer in the head with a rock, and I'll be able to provide for my family. And that's fine. You can have your .30-06, 2,000 rounds of ammunition and a bumper sticker that says you'll get my guns when you pry them out of my cold, dead fingers. But the fact is that if Melvin, that has the .30-06, can't get a peanut butter sandwich, what's going to happen? Your guns will not keep your food and protect your food, but your food will protect your guns and your children and your property rights. Because, you see, when the breadline forms and the government doesn't have enough food to provide for all of the commitments,
all hell is going to break loose. And listen, we've got the government massing giant armored vehicles, 1.4 billion rounds of ammo, armored pillboxes, military drills admitting it's for domestic operations. I've always said, as we saw this building up, let's just hope there's a 20% chance, a 50% chance. More and more, with QE3 and all of it, it appears to be an inevitability. I hope we can pray and repent and back off this system like Nineveh got a reprieve. But here's the problem. It's all just racing forward. It's all coming true. The worst scenarios, this constellation of data points, and the government doing this by design for this design collapse appears to be where we're going. I don't know if it's 6 months. I don't know if it's a year. I don't know if it's next week. But they're talking about mainstream news, the euro completely collapsing. They've already got food riots in Europe. In Spain, they're raiding grocery stores. In Italy, they're having problems. In Greece. And then I look at our economic situation. It's even worse than theirs. And it's all engineered by these globalists who are using this to bring people down. And then I think of the story of Egypt and the first economist that Alfred Adass talks about. When you actually are reading in Genesis where you have the seven fat years and the seven lean years, the truth is because they put the food back for the 7 years, they end up, Pharaoh enslaves everybody because he has the food put aside. I mean, people miss what's told right there in that story. I mean, you're right. The whole globalist program is about starving people out, and that's what Henry Kissinger talked about in 1973 as food as a weapon, the Memorandum 200, and now we see everything they do preparing for this. The carbon taxes, they are setting things up in all the towns around Austin, but it's nationwide. We're sending reporters there. We've got the reports coming out next week. It's all UN-run. We have all the documents. They're getting ready to shut these small towns down, have factories under high-rises in small towns, and they all get tax-free, whoever owns that, kind of like Walmart's designed to bankrupt all the businesses. Now they're going to only let these systems operate and implode everything else. I mean, it is just incredible, the takeover plan. They have got this whole thing lined up. But it's Agenda 21.
You are doing a great job of letting people know about that. And we've got people that would not miss one of your shows and that take notes when you bring this information to the fore.
All I'm saying is it's so diabolical. Is there a way to stop it?
That's right. But here's the deal. What can you and what can any of those viewers out there do about all this stuff that we're talking about?
I've said it. Listen, you go to my house,
Yeah.
I've got all the food from other companies I bought before I discovered you guys 7-8 years ago. I threw that away. But I've got 4 or 5 purchases from you guys in there. And I've got some specialty stuff. And I've got all my emergency stuff. I've got my guns. I've got my 2 fences up around my house. Not because I'm living in fear. I'm out here fighting the globalists because I love my family. And I've moved outside Austin, all of this, because if there was a 20% chance of this happening, I would have a responsibility to do it. And now it looks like an 80% chance.
What people have to do is exactly what we're doing. You know, we practice what we preach. We're smoking our own dope, as it were.
Exactly.
From the standpoint that we're going out there and we're buying raw materials ahead, a year ahead of time. And the reason we're doing that is to freeze the price so that we can process the stuff and get it to people. The other thing, the more important reason we're buying the food, is so that we can freeze the availability. You might have all the money in the world, but you got no food. You're going to stand there. It's like
you're buying future contracts out.
Absolutely.
That's how you knew a year ago it was going to be so high now, because it's obviously staged, or they wouldn't have known that the contracts would have to be higher.
Yeah. But let me tell you why you got to do that.
I'm not saying you're bad for buying a year out. I'm saying you knew it was going to go up. They were charging more
I'm
a year out.
Everybody's got to do what we're doing.
Yeah.
Everybody's got what they don't want the raw materials. They need the finished product. But the fact is, they've got to do exactly what we're doing for a couple of reasons. The first one is that, remember, people are falling below that poverty line because things are getting more and more expensive. The way you put in your food and your supply
before hyperinflation,
you freeze the price by getting it.
Well, it's like Weimar Republic, and I'm not saying it's going to get that bad. Weimar Republic, where it took 40 million Deutsche Marks to buy a loaf of bread, wheelbarrows of money marked 1 million Deutsche Marks per bill just to buy a loaf of bread by the end of it. Imagine if Germans would have known and bought a year before. All I'm saying is this. You're a great sponsor that helps fund the news organization, what we're doing. But when I go out and get a sponsor, I go get and find who I'm already using, who I believe in, because I like to sleep good at night. But I got to tell you, Steve, I mean, here's the bottom line. I promote what I believe in. I'm a free market person. So if I like a brand of firearm, I go out and try to get them as a sponsor. If I have a brand of ammo I like, I try to go out and get them. When I was on local radio, if I really liked a restaurant, I'd try to get them as a sponsor, because I sell the truth. George Soros and all these guys, they live off banker bailout money, corporate welfare. $500 million was sent to MSNBC of taxpayer money to give Rachel Maddow and people raises. They didn't hire one person. So here we are. I'm promoting what I believe in. And of course, you're here informationally. You said, I'll stay and talk, but I don't want to pitch e-foods. I want people to understand the big picture. But it is important that people have a good place to go get it, because now all these big businesses and people are getting into the business. They're coming in. I want you to talk about that in the next part of this series.
Sure.
The secrets of the food industry, the secrets of storable food industry, for someone who's been there from the very beginning, for people to understand what we're dealing with here, that it's also important to get really good deals and high-quality food that lasts as long as possible, and we'll also talk about that. But I want to tell viewers something out there right now. You are crazy if you don't start storing food. So what I'm saying to people out there, and I want to get back into the news and information, is that you do need to get storable food. Everything the globalists is doing and are doing worldwide is about making you dependent. Oh, you're bad if you have food. You're bad if you have water filters. You're bad if you have solar. Oh, that's weird. While they dig in. It is great that people are buying tens of millions of guns. It is great people are buying ammo. It's great that the middle class is running to the countryside, because that means that when they try to implode this thing fully, we're going to have a remnant of people to try to rebuild this country. Because this is how the communists took over Eastern European countries. They would just get control of the government, then shut the economy off because they couldn't militarily take over and then roll in later. The army documents admit re-education camps. So believe me, I'm getting storable food. You need it, and you need to get it from eFoodsDirect.com. Find the specials at eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Also, most companies don't say, call and just pay the shipping and get samples. They're like, just get your year's supply. They want you to get the 6 free meals when you pay for the shipping so that you can eat them and see that it's quality. Okay? That's why I chose eFoods. I did my research. I tested a bunch, bought a bunch. The other stuff was like cardboard or filled with MSG or made in China. This is all packaged right here in the U.S. They used to be only made in America until they found out it's impossible to buy it. They didn't guarantee to have some GMO in it. So bottom line, folks, efoodsdirect.com/Alex. Follow the banners at Infowars.com or call the toll-free number 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. Now, Steve, I know I said I wouldn't go into a big pitch for you, but here's my deal. You know, you're here to cover news and info, but you're also a great sponsor, so I want to support what you're doing. And I believe in people getting food. So, I mean, that's why I get so excited about these issues. But finish up in this part one, the other points you haven't hit.
The thing that we need to cover, there are two facets. We just covered the fact that we buy out ahead of time so we can freeze the cost. But the most important thing to freeze is availability. Because remember, seventh year of the worldwide famine, 70% of the corn crop, it's just all coming together now, so the availability of food is going to be the issue no matter how much money you got. Now, the cost freezing and the availability freezing is one issue. Let's go to the other important one. Remember, we were talking about the fact that the government doesn't have any money. They've made a lot of commitments to a huge portion of this country, which will vote for them, because you don't bite the hand that's feeding you. Okay? So what about those commitments when they don't have food? We know about the executive orders that you just talked about. Let's talk about not just the roadways, not the fact that if you got an airplane, they can take that over, not any of this kind of stuff. Let's just talk about the food, okay? When these obligations have to be met for the people who right now can't provide for themselves, where's the food going to come from? When food can be taken from the big warehouses and things and channeled where it's needed, what about the people who were prudent enough to put aside some retirement money? What about the disabled vet that stands in the bread line with his check from his disability but still can't buy food because it's been taken to give? This is take from the willing to take care of themselves and give to the others that will vote for me. Think about it. What's going to happen when in that bread line, not the people who are on the government support right now, but the people who have set aside their retirement, who have set aside their disability check, who have their little sack of gold because they were prudent enough to buy some gold for when things hit the fan, and that gold won't buy any food because there's none left because it has been taken. So you tell me the extent to which you're dependent.
It's incredible. I'll tell you what I've done. I have, you know, family that are veterans and people like that who can't live off their Social Security, who are disabled and things. And that's why I've bought so much food is I send them a year's supply. I mean, charity starts at home, and I've made sure that my family and loved ones actually have the food because, you know, it's one thing to just write a check, you know, to family or something, and then they end up, you know, just buying stuff at Walmart or whatever. But when you give them high-quality storable foods, you are really giving them an insurance policy that if things don't go to hell in a handbasket, well, great, you eat it because eFood's food tastes so good.
Well, now, there's something that we need to cover here. I know you want to cover it in a different session, but it's really important. 3 years ago, I got a call from the wife of a veterinarian down in southern Utah. She said, Steve, we've got a bunch of your food in, but I got to tell you something. We just got notice from the U.S. Department of Agriculture that my husband, who is a veterinarian, is going to be required at some point in time to go around to every farm and ranch and identify every single critter that's there. Now, at that point, we had just finished up with the E. coli challenge to spinach. You remember I put out that little ad that said spinach has been, you know, contaminated and things like that with the E. coli. And E. coli and spinach doesn't poop because that's where E. coli comes from. That's kind of indelicate, but I tend to be indelicate.
No, but this is clearly economic espionage. Every time they've got a bill like the Food Safety Act that lets Big Agra do whatever they want and only shuts down small farms written by Big Agra, they have a bunch of these events.
Well, but the point is, that the objective is so that you can follow back, or so that the authorities can follow back. If there's a contaminated critter that happens to make people sick, then they should be able to follow back to whoever got that and do the recall. So if we're identifying the source of all the food and that comes into the grocery store, then it won't do any good unless we also identify who bought that food, so that we can, if there's a problem, like we've seen so many problems. Isn't it interesting? We have problems when we're about to have a legislation.
And don't let a good crisis go to waste.
Oh,
you said it. I'm going to steal your thunder right now. If they are tracking everything from the farm to your plate, they know what you're eating. And Michelle and the federal government has said, Michelle Obama, this is a long-term program. They want to tax you and fine you when you don't eat the right thing. So now they know what you're eating. Now they want to take over the grocery stores. Here's an article out of CNS News. Miss Obama's second-term agenda, impact nature of food and grocery stores, and tell you what to eat. I mean, there is the headline right there. Why is Michelle Obama's food initiative promoting Walmart? They don't talk about GMO. They don't talk about aspartame. They don't talk about MSG. None of that's a problem. No, she says salt. Bloomberg banning milk products, banning over 16-ounce drinks, trying to ban popcorn. They want to set the precedent that they tell you exactly what you can and can't do.
Well, I'll tell you what. You want to know about salt? You want to know about salt? That's a side issue. It's not what we're talking about. But I did a recording. They can catch it on our website. I'll send it over to yours, too, so they can listen to it. On sodium. Do you realize that the medical journals are telling people that they have to have a minimum of 230 grams of salt every day, sodium content, but it's not table salt. That will kill you. What they don't tell people is that if you have sea salt with the other minerals and things like that, it's actually healthy for you, and you got to have it to keep from dying. But all of these things that go on.
Exactly. They say you need fluoride, but it's not calcium fluoride you need a little bit of. It's the hydrofluorosilicic acid, it's hard to pronounce, that has a missing electron, so it's deadly acid.
Oh, it's a...
How do you pronounce it? Hydrofluorosilicic acid? Fluorosilicic. I've been having so many problems with that. We're teleprompter free, folks. We've had the scientist on. It is. Rob Dew knows how to say it. Rob, how do you say it? Hydrofluorosilicic acid. For whatever reason, I'm usually eloquent. I have big problems, but I've watched all, even Harvard. Guys, put it on screen. Just type in Harvard study fluoride. It's Reuters. Admits brain damage, IQ reduction, cancer. Because it's not calcium fluoride. It's not even sodium fluoride. They go in and change the makeup of the molecule to supercharge it to this deadly acid. I mean, can you just, it's incredible. It's incredible.
Hey, if you
I've been drinking so much of it, I can't even say the real name of it.
If you ever have strong feelings about that, would you make me the first to know?
Listen, that's why I sound like a carnival barker about this food. But I'm sorry. I'm going to tell the viewers something out there. The time for screwing around is over. Now is the time, folks. If you don't have ammo and guns, if you don't have water filters, if you don't have your neighbors informed, you better quietly talk to your neighbors and see who's a globalist and who isn't. You know, if you're a little concerned about things and don't trust the government and your neighbor acts weird, good, mark that down. Because it's time to learn what's going on, folks. I've gone around in the countryside and talked to my neighbors because I want to be ahead of things. I want to take care of my daughters and my son. You understand that, ladies and gentlemen? This isn't a game. Government is hoarding food for themselves. SWAT teams are hoarding food. They're hoarding ammunition. They're building up weapons while telling you it's bad to get ready. Oh, but under pressure, FEMA's like, maybe you should have a week ready. And then what do you make? In fact, new viewers won't believe this if you missed it. Earlier this week, they've come out and the government, DHS, says, get ready, prepare for zombie apocalypse, which is a metaphor, an archetype of basically the welfare hordes when their checks don't cash or their checks don't buy anything. Did you see the governments saying get ready for zombie apocalypses?
That's absolutely insane. And what we've been trying to say all along, when you and I talk, Alex, what we've been trying to tell people, let's just go back to this issue of tracking the food, okay? the explanation as to why it needs to be tracked that will be given people, I will guarantee you, just as sure as I'm sitting here looking ugly, is that if there's ever a recall, we need to know who to let know. Okay? But the fact is, if people want to have a supply of food, if they want to guarantee their freedom, if they want to be independent based on the fact that the extent to which you're dependent is the extent to which you've given power over yourself to others, to that on which you depend, your food, they had better very well get their supply of food in, whatever they choose to have. If they want a year's supply, 6 months, whatever they need to have, they better get that in before we have the regulations that say every morsel of food has to be tracked.
By the way,
that is where we're going.
That was the Pentagon plan. They've been trying to, where there's tracker chips on all the packages, they admit from the factory in the trucks to the store to your house to the landfill, and now it started in England and Miami passed it. The trash trucks are going to scan with smart meters what's in your trash and tax you according to each piece. And they're talking about $3,000 fines if you throw away the wrong thing in the wrong basket. And Paul Watson in England has actually had the inspectors in his neighborhood fining people. And now it started in Miami. You cannot make this up. I mean, this is a hellish system they're setting up. And you're right. They're obsessed with food. You're right. I mean, quite frankly, I knew because of war, collapse problems, you know, 6-7 years ago, it's good to have food.
Yeah.
But when you were saying shut down the food, animal ID, premises ID, I'm like, it's not going to get that bad, Steve. And yeah. Now here we are. I know chicken farmers, okay? One of them works for us. I'm just going to leave it at that. Who only has a few hundred chickens, sells locally, you know, range-fed, eggs, hens, all that stuff. People pay more for that because they should. They get harassed by bureaucrats, but big pharma, Tyson Chicken, can have a million chickens and do whatever they want, and they get one chip that's for the million, but the little guys, they don't have all the waiver forms. You gotta have a $10 chip per chicken. You can't sell a chicken for $10.
Mm-hmm.
It is designed. Look who wrote the Food Safety Act last year. Big Pharma spent $18 million, Big Agra, in 1 week trying to get that passed. And when it failed, they just went ahead with executive orders, as you said. I mean, they are taking over. You know, I'm supposed to be interviewing you, and I'm ranting. What are the other points?
Well, go ahead and rant. It's as good as I said it, only you just said it louder.
Exactly.
I tend to be conservative, and I don't get upset about it.
No, but I am. I mean, let me tell you, I just want the nightmare to end. I just want the nightmare to end, Steve. But listen, you've got all these other points you wrote down. What are some of the other points?
Let's finish up on this one. Very simply, what we're dealing with the identification and the tracking, what people have to understand is that with the shortages, whether they're contrived or not, with the price increases, whether they're contrived or not, with the circumstances that we've got with the legislation and the tracking of the food, no one, Joe Lunchbucket and Sally, his wife, can't do anything about any of these. We can rail at the heavens and say it's not fair, it's crappy, it's terrible, it's miserable, it's communism, or whatever the heck we want to call it. But we can't do anything about it. But the one thing we can do about it is before this gate on the hog trap closes,
we can get the hell out.
We can get our food because it's not being tracked yet. And we still have some that some of us can afford. And there are ways through some of the foundations and things that we're working with that I don't want to discuss right now, where people actually, instead of cutting back on the food stamp program, where people actually can start helping other people get food and get involved with this thing, and one of the ways that they can help is listening to what you say and what I'm talking about and get with their friends and neighbors and say, we got some food. You guys had better get in touch with Alex's program and listen to what this guy is saying and get some food in while you still can.
Absolutely. And I mean, the good news is,
falling below that poverty level, and when you fall below the poverty level and you can't afford to buy your food and you have to go and get the food stamps to support you,
you're now a slave. It's incredible. From the richest nation the world's ever seen, 4% of the world's population, we had over half the wealth. We're still 4 to 5% of the world population. We now only have about 27 to 30% of the wealth, depending on which actuary. We have been robbed. Globalism has been a curse to this country. We're going to cut it right there and come back with part two. This has been Global Food Crisis Special Report. Some of the points we didn't get to here, because this is the big interview. We're going to come back in part two of this report. You know, this was on this Thursday edition of the show, but we're going to tape some more for future shows next week. We're going to look at secrets of the food industry. This is where you think it's boring because you live it. This is what's exciting, all the insights to baseball you told me.
It's not boring, but it's really aggravating.
Well, we're going to break that down, and we're also going to have a buying guide for storable foods. You know, the ins and outs, you know, the secrets that you know for people, regardless, from the industry insider, Steve Shank. And again, folks, efoodsdirect.com/Alex for specials, 800-409-5633. And again, ladies and gentlemen, we will continue with this discussion on the radio as well. And when you do get the high-quality storable foods at efoodsdirect.com or by calling the toll-free number, they can answer your questions there. The advertising that they spend with us also helps get the word out so we can warn others. It's win-win-win, and you're supporting liberty and freedom through the free market. You're doing it through free association. We're not the government with a gun to your head saying, we're going to take your tax money and then give it to people to make them dependent so we can have them as an army to vote against your rights and make you a slave because you held out. We're going to have them vote to make you a slave. They took the goods because we destroyed their economy, took their jobs, dumbed them down. Now they're going to vote to take your guns, take your property, and make you an even bigger slave or conscript you or whatever the case is. So again, go to InfoWars.com, click on the banner they were just showing, go there to the specials, and get your food in today because it's the only insurance that you can 100% use. Nobody can deny prices are going up, and they're going to go up more the way things are going. So you can save money by buying the food now. That's the simple pitch. I sell the truth. I fund our operation by promoting what I believe in, and that's why we've been so successful. We're not funded by globalists or big sponsors. We are funded by you supporting us and spreading the word out there and becoming PrisonPlanet.tv members, subscribers. This is how we get the word out. And we couldn't do it without sponsors like Steve Shank, who has a great product. I go out there and find people I believe in because I want the good mojo, the reap what you sow, the karma, whatever you want to call it. I promote what I believe in 100%, and I believe in what they're doing 100%. And the globalists do not want you to be self-sufficient. Everything they do is about making you dependent, as Steve said with the story of the hogs. Well, let me tell you, that's accurate because that's how we get rid of them in East Texas because they eat the baby fawns, they tear up your fields, eat your crops. I mean, it's the biggest problem you can imagine. But human beings, we're not feral pigs. We don't need to be enslaved. We don't need to be killed. The globalists see us as that. They see us as lower than cattle. So that's the bottom line. Part two. This was Global Food Crisis Special Report. And boy, they're going to be blow-ups everywhere now in the third world as the prices go up. The next piece, when we return next week with the second part, is Secrets of the Food Industry. So don't say you weren't warned. I'm Alex Jones signing off for this special edition of InfoWars Nightly News. Great job to Jakari Jackson and to all the other reporters and to everybody putting together the graphics, all of it. It's amazing. I just learned we were doing this interview yesterday because I was trying to get him to come on to repeat all this. We decided to do this yesterday. We put all the graphics together, everything. This was impromptu, and here it is, so I hope you will take action. If you don't, it's at your own peril. Steve Shank, thank you so much.
Appreciate you, bud.
I'm going to have some more coffee now, ladies and gentlemen, and get down the road and do some more work. Thanks for watching.